You're listening to Agriculture Today.
We have to have markets for our corn and for our cattle and hogs and dairy, you name it. I mean, this is so important, not only to have domestic, but also our export markets.
Iowa Representative Randy Feenstra, member of the House Ag Committee, Ways and Means Committee, on passage of year-round E15.
Yesterday, we were so excited because we passed year-around E15, and we've been working almost a decade to get this passed. And this is just a massive opportunity for us to increase that corn market, to expand it, and to lower prices at the pump, probably 30 to 40 cents, and then create this domestic energy. Instead of buying from our foreign adversaries, we have domestic energy right here. And this is such a big win for the United States and for our producers.
Now, the House vote to allow year-round E15 will give corn, sorghum, and ethanol supporters a major policy win, but the bill still has work ahead. The Nationwide Consumer and Fuel Retailer Choice Act passed by a vote of 218 to 203. It now moves to the Senate. Now, specifically, that bill allows year-round nationwide sales of fuel blended with 15% ethanol by removing the seasonal restriction tied to summer fuel volatility rules. Supporters say that would expand domestic demand for corn and sorghum while giving drivers another low-cost fuel option. E15, already sold at more than 4,800 stations across 36 states, is approved for model year 2001 and newer cars, pickups, SUVs, and vans. Not approved for use, though, in motorcycles, boats, lawnmowers, chainsaws, or other non-road equipment. The debate is more complicated, though, for soybeans and refiners. Bill includes changes to small refinery exemptions tied to renewable fuel standard compliance. Small refiners say relief is needed to manage compliance costs, while the American Soybean Association says permanent exemptions could reduce farm income and actually raise prices. Bill does not require retailers to sell E15, still needs Senate approval before reaching the president's desk. Speaking of ethanol, production climbed to a four-week high, while inventories fell to their lowest level since early October. The EIA data for the week shows that production rose 6.4% for the week that ended May 8th, over 1 million barrels per day. That equals 45.5 million gallons per day, output 9% higher than the same week last year, 8.1% above the five-year average. What about exports? Well, they're up 16.5%, estimated 162,000 barrels per day. And speaking of energy, advanced nuclear is not just a big city data center story. If the technology proves to be commercially viable, rural communities could become one of the first places where small reactors help support energy-intensive operations that need reliable power beyond the traditional grid. Nuclear Regulatory Commission has proposed a new Part 57 licensing framework for microreactors and other low-risk reactor designs. Proposal could allow faster licensing, fleet approvals, manufacturing license, and the timing matters as power demand grows. U.S. Energy Information Administration says ERCOT demand has steadily increased since 2021, and is expected to grow faster than any other U.S. grid operator in the next year. It's Agriculture Today.
The planting season is right around the corner. You can't afford to be down when it's time to go. Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, can get your equipment ready for the season and keep you running. We also have a great selection of new and used planters for the upcoming season. Depend on Wiley's 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Find us at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
There are two national pork organizations.
Brian Humphreys is CEO, National Pork Producers Council.
First, you have the National Pork Producers Council, which is NPPC. We work on regulations, policy work. Our other organization, the National Pork Board of the Checkoff, separate organization, separate board, separate funding stream, separate staff. They work on education, promotion, and research. And so when you see ads out there for eating more pork, that would be the checkoff. Our work is focused in Washington, D.C., state capitals around the country. And then we also have 42 state pork associations that we engage with as well across the country.
House has passed a farm bill, but it still has to get through the Senate.
So I'm still of the optimist nature that we as ag and our friends and partners in Congress are going to help us get this across the line. And so the calendar is challenging, sure. There's a lot going on in D.C., clearly. But obviously, as we move forward here, I'm the optimist. I think we're going to be able to get this one across the line.
So what are the farm bill priorities for pork producers?
You know, I'd be remiss if we talk farm bill and we don't talk about fixed to Proposition 12. That would be a miss on our part. For those of you, your listeners and your viewers here that aren't aware, Proposition 12 was a ballot measure that was passed in California in 2018 that limited the product sales of what could be sold in the state of California. And in order to qualify for to sell product in California, pork producers in Iowa and Minnesota, the Dakotas, North Carolina, all across the country had to comply with these very arbitrary standards in order for product to be sold there. And that's created a nightmare of patchworks across the country as producers have tried to come into compliance to meet California's regulations as well as Massachusetts, et cetera. And so what we're looking for in the Farm Bill here is a fix to Proposition 12. What do we mean by that? We mean that Congress should regulate interstate commerce. We mean that the state of California should not be able to regulate farmers outside of their borders. The state of California should not be able to tell pork producers in Iowa or Minnesota or North Carolina or any other state how to raise pigs in order to access their market. And so that's what we're looking for. And in the version of the farm bill that's going to the floor, that language is included. So very happy to see that. But there are other things in the farm bill beyond that. Obviously, when we talk about farm bill, there are 12 titles. I think everybody knows that. For us specifically, let's talk about Title II. In Title II, there's money in there, about $150 million a year over 5 years to work on feral swine eradication programs for your folks down south. That's a big deal. And for folks that have pigs, it's a disease vector that we worry a lot about. You know, you talked about the one big beautiful bill under Title III. On trade dollars, the one big beautiful bill allocated about $285 million a year for trade promotion and facilitation programs. And under the farm bill now, under Title III, we consolidate all those together under MAP and foreign market development dollars and help put that together. And then Title 12 also goes in and codifies and expands the Beagle Brigade Act, which allows us to add more training facilities. And those of you aren't aware, the Beagle Brigade are the little dogs that are at all the ports of entry, smelling for product that should not be coming into the U.S. And that protects us not just on pork, but on citrus and a bunch of other things as well. So a lot of other things in the farm bill that would be great for the U.S. pork industry.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Previously served with the Trump administration.
Aubrey Betancourt is chief of the Natural Resources Conservation Service at USDA.
Both at USDA, in the Department of Interior, in the Water and Science Division. So coming out of that, I worked in sustainability with the dairy sector. I had a chance to serve as the CEO of the Almond Alliance, the trade association for American almonds. Worked a little bit in irrigation technology with NetFM on a global level in precision ag. And when the call came in and said, we'd like you to serve again as chief of the Natural Resources Conservation Service, I said yes. And it's been a terrific culmination of so much of my career and time in service. And it's a privilege to be serving as chief of NRCS at this time in this place. To recommit the agency to its core principles of being farmer first, of being that technical assistance agency, one of the foremost farmer-facing agencies in the history of USDA, and to carry on that foundation and that first principle of the agency for next century.
And what's the focus?
We have taken the year of really, like I mentioned before, recommitting ourselves to that core principle of keeping farmers on the landscape, our mission of helping farmers and helping people help the land. And so by getting back to our core competencies, those core Farm Bill programs that we know and love, but also even primarily before that, NRCS did not become a financial assistance agency until 1996. And so first and foremost, we do one core principle. Foundationally, we are putting ourselves back at what does farmer first mean? The secretary has so challenged the agent preserving and protecting agricultural land. That is our core foundational principle. Everything we do answers that core mission. And so that's the first premise. Then on top of that, it is getting back to being in the field where we belong as that technical assistance agency that we are designed and intended to be. NRCS, as you know, is a cost share program. It is not a free money program agency. We are an agency that requires a farmer to have that farm plan, that whole farm plan first. You have to have a plan. You have to have technical assistance before you can get any financial assistance. And the farmer, really what we're doing is meeting the farmer where they're at as they invest in themselves to change their cultural practice on the landscape. And that's what our then core Farm Bill programs do, our EQIP, our CSP. Those conservation practice standards, about 163, 64 of them, are designed to then help that farmer change the way that they are farming in a manner in which to become more profitable and more sustainable for them financially, as well as from a resource management and resource concern standpoint, and to meet them where they're at and to help them through that time of transition so that they can realize the success of that investment on their operation. And so secondarily to keeping and preserving and protecting agricultural land, that's why you also see us really invest in our ACEP ALE program, our working lands easement program, and really working to streamline that program as well as to, I think, dispel a lot of misnomers around that program. We are happy to say that where previously that could take years for that program to be administered, we now are looking at 6 months to a year from beginning to close on an ALE, which is remarkable. From that perspective. But really what we're emphasizing there is trying to answer the existential threat of today. Before it was the Dust Bowl and the loss of topsoil. Today it's the loss of working land. We lose 5,000 acres of farmland a day, 2,000 acres of prime farmland a day. And so again, this comes back to if our job is to keep farmers on the landscape, we have to reorient everything towards that core mission.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
We're excited about this one. This is a new market for us, for all intents and purposes.
Ryan LeGrand is president and CEO of the U.S. Grains and Bioproducts Council on signing a new MOU.
Thailand imports no corn from us today. You have to go back to the last time that they imported even over 100,000 tons. So just a drop in the bucket was the early 2000s, so 2003 or 4. The last time they even got up to 500,000 tons, so that's 20 million bushels, was the mid-90s. And again, in the grand scheme of things, that's a small amount. And they are now ready to import hopefully at least 1 million tons, maybe more, from us. It's an extremely exciting development. So 1 million tons is 39, 40 million bushels. And their need every year is 3 to 4 million tons. So 3 to 4 times the size of the volumes that we were talking about earlier this week. They were in town for another major event that's happening here in the D.C. area, but their trade delegation stopped by. Their deputy prime minister came to our office along with CP, Cheruyan Pakfend, one of the world's largest feed millers, was here and met with our commercial exporters and signed memorandums of understanding to resume meaningful exports of corn to Thailand once again. You know, Thailand is looking to get in the good graces, for lack of a better term, with the Trump administration. They know that ag purchases and dealings in ag gets this administration's attention. And so I think they're keen to do that and much more in working to right the trade deficit that we have with Thailand. So it's a great, great culmination of a heck of a lot of work from our team, from U.S. government to get the people to the table. And then, of course, it none of it happens until our exporters sell the tons and execute on those tons. So it really takes a team effort, and we're excited to see this happen.
He admits victories like this come from a public-private partnership.
They're the lifeblood of our organization. There's no real other way to put it. The funds provided through Foreign Market Development, FMD, and Market Access Program, the MAP, both under the Farm Bill, produce results, plain and simple. I mean, studies out there show that there's a 23-to-1 return on investment for these dollars going to cooperators like ourselves. There's a group that within the USDA that they call us cooperators, USEC, the Soy Association, U.S. Meat, U.S. Poultry and Egg Exporter Council, U.S. Grains and Bioproducts Council. We're all cooperators within this USDA system. And these dollars that they provide to us and to the other organizations are really extremely beneficial and necessary to drive further exports of American ag products.
The Grains and Bioproducts Council works on behalf of corn, sorghum, barley growers across the country.
We have a newsletter that we put out every week, so you can go on to our website and sign up to receive our newsletter. There's several other reports that we put out for market reports, ethanol pricing reports. So I would say that's probably the best way. That newsletter really gives the top projects and priorities that we're working on a weekly basis. And that's how a lot of people that I know, friends and family, keep up with our organization.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
The planting season is right around the corner. You can't afford to be down when it's time to go. Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, can get your equipment ready for the season and keep you running. We also have a great selection of new and used planters for the upcoming season. Depend on Wiley's 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Find us at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Well, I think, you know, without question, we were very excited about all of the debt tax relief that was included.
Kip Backus with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association in Washington, D.C. on the one big, beautiful bill.
Because of that law, now the death tax has been, that exemption level has been increased to $15 million per individual, $30 million per couple. It's indexed for inflation, and it's permanent. So there's no more patchwork there. But we also saw restoration of 100% bonus depreciation. We saw an increase of Section 179 deductions to $2.5 million. So that's really important when you're looking at equipment and other investments. And we saw an increase in extension of the 199A small business deduction. All of that allows producers to hold on to more of their money, and instead of sending it to Washington for Uncle Sam to spend as he sees fit.
Now, in many instances, Congress will pass something that is for a few years, but this is permanent.
That's right. This is permanent. And I think this really, it's important to remember how far we've come, because in order to get this through the House and the Senate, Congress passed this by one vote majorities in the House and the Senate, and the president played a very prominent role in helping, you know, move that forward. We were fortunate to see that signed into law on July 4th of last year, and it really has kind of set the stage for us to start taking advantage of a lot of these benefits. But really, Tony, this started years in advance. NCBA and our grassroots through our state affiliates did a lot to promote this. We've worked very closely with a lot of other agricultural groups, American Farm Bureau and others, and their grassroots played a prominent role in this too. We also work very closely with a number of other small business and family business groups and coalitions across the country. So this really is the result not of some backroom deal in Washington, but of a grassroots effort and a grassroots movement. This was America's farmers and ranchers engaging with their elected officials and helping them understand how these benefits and how these tax provisions were going to help stimulate the economy in rural America. And now we've set up the next generation for success. So this really is a cause to celebrate.
While this is a victory, can Congress be productive the rest of this session?
Well, I think that's always the challenge for Congress is being productive. There's always the appearance of doing without doing much. And that's not a criticism of any individual person, but it's just the way the system is built. And with this being an election year, it is tough. You still have some majorities. You've had some resignations. You have other members that are also under investigation right now. So there's a lot of uncertainty of what the makeup of Congress is going to look like. But as we're getting into really the full swing of this election year, I think we're going to see a lot more position votes. I think we're going to see Congress continue to try to do its work. We're hoping to see some of the appropriations bills pass through regular order. There's still a surface transportation reauthorization bill that needs to move forward. So there are a lot of big things that are out there, but the reality is this is an election year, and Congress spends about half its time trying to make sure that they can come back and be here for the next year of productive work. So we'll see what happens. Whether they are successful or not, you will see Congress being incredibly busy, voting on many things, having a lot of hearings, but they're also going to be back in their districts. They're going to be back in their states, meeting with constituents. And that's really where NCBA and our affiliates shine, too, because it creates opportunities for us to engage with them directly.
It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
America being in the middle of the largest intergenerational wealth transfer in history.
Corey Kruger is managing partner with Hensley and Kruger on the upcoming probate storm.
Over $70 to $80 trillion with a T is expected to change hands in the next several decades.
He talks about the importance of relationships and final wills.
There's already issues when, let's say, dad gets divorced from the kid's mom and gets remarried. That already creates its own level of tension. And then add into it the amount of money and resources or assets that could come into play when he passes away, and who gets what and who's going to be upset about who if they get more than the other. It's a recipe for disaster, but it is what it is. I mean, it's going to continue to happen. You know, people, relationships don't work out. People get remarried, but you got to plan. You've got to talk to your kids and talk to your new spouse. And everybody needs to be in the same room. And the best thing to do is communicate and plan, plan, plan.
What happens, though, when a farm goes into probate?
It's going to cease for at least a temporary period of time. Now, if you have litigation, what we do and for our clients is we request the court to appoint a temporary administrator appointed by the court until it's called a temporary administrator pending contest. So it's a temporary administrator until the contest or the lawsuit is resolved. A temporary administrator is appointed by the court. It's usually a lawyer in the area. And that person, once they're appointed, they take over bank accounts. They take over, you know, cattle accounts. They take over cattle management. And they hire the people in place to get that done so that it can be run as well as possible until the dispute is resolved. Now, obviously, that costs money because you got other people doing the job, but still, it's better than just letting everything go and then here we go to bankruptcy.
And when it comes to farms and ranches and agribusiness, it's not simple.
Well, you're talking about farms or ranches and, you know, put it in a family limited partnership, put it into an LLC, put it into a trust. There's all kinds of estate planning and asset vehicles to do that. It's just you need to speak to someone who does this on a regular basis. It's not simple. It's not easy. But, you know, for example, you could have a LLC that owns the ranch and it's split between your three kids upon the death. So not only is it in a one single entity owned by your kids, it's also, you know, it creates a little bit of asset protection in case something happens. For example, if one of your children is in a car accident caused by that child and, you know, causes some injuries and they get sued, you know, the theory is that the property that's in the LLC is protected. Same thing with the irrevocable trust. So there's all kinds of ways to make things easier. I'm not going to sit here and say there's a perfect way to do everything, but there's ways to make things easier and better and to protect assets in a better way and for just generational transfer of wealth.
That's Corey Kruger with Hensley and Kruger. It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.